for federal agencies and contractors, too. Presidential administrations are like guests who come and go, but leave their baggage behind. That's why it often takes contractors to help program managers keep up with the accumulated reporting requirements and guidance compliance. Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney says he wants to clear some of that clutter and has issued orders to do so. Joining me with analysis, Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. And Alan, is this only a matter for contractors who are helping agencies comply, or are there deeper issues here?
Tom, I think there are deeper issues than just mere compliance, although that's important as well. And I'll compliment OMB for taking the initiative to so-called drain their own swamp a little bit by clearing out a lot of the outdated regulations. But there are three areas that I think they should have had a different policy or different approach to. One is with respect to accelerating payments to contractors. Second, with respect to the internal reviews of their acquisition systems. And the third on reporting under performance.gov.
All right, so with reporting on acquisition systems, that would seem to maybe open up all kinds of possibilities for contractors. What are some of them?
Well, the A-123 that they proposed to pause until 2020 requires agencies to essentially look at their internal controls, including their compliance with the acquisition laws and regulations of the agencies. Number of agencies undertake those reviews. They take them seriously, as they should. And it makes sure that the agencies themselves are complying with the rules that contractors are going to compete against. And that's why that's an important area for continuity. It just seemed to us that a pause until 2020, while they reorganize government over the next 2 years, seemed to be an unnecessary and dangerous pause, not requiring agencies to stay on top of the millions of dollars of acquisition processes that they go through every year, almost having nothing to do with the reorganization structures.
And what about the rescission of a memo from 2011? This was from Dan Gordon when he was the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy regarding a streamlined process for renewing the business case for multi-agency contract.
Here again, there was an important need, and I think continuing need, for a business case review before agencies launch their own individual multiple award contracts. Part of the reason for the business case is to minimize the proliferation of individual indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts, and minimize the overlap and inconsistencies across agencies. That's really part of this administration's own initiatives on category management to identify best-in-class contractors, best-in-class contracts, and to take advantage of government spend in an effective and efficient way. And so without a business case review and some opportunity for other agencies to comment on creation of these indefinite quantity contracts, we're concerned that there will just simply be a continued proliferation of them, where it's the Professional Services Council goal to minimize the proliferation of these IDIQ contracts.
With 6 years of experience under the Dan Gordon memo, does it look as if the proliferation was halted for that period?
It's hard to tell for sure because that information isn't made public. What we do see in the review of the IDIQ contracts, the indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity, is that agencies are trying to thread the needle for themselves to make sure that these contracts are meeting their individual needs. And of course, GSA has been taking advantage of the initiatives in category management over the last couple of years to make available on a government-wide basis some of these IDIQ contracts. So I wish there were more information available publicly about these business case reviews, but I do think that it does help with internal reviews within government to make sure that at least there's some visibility before these new contracts are established.
We're speaking with Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. And there's also something in that rescinded memo from 2011 regarding prices paid and performance information reporting in the acquisition gateway. And that all ties in with this whole prices paid deal that's been so controversial between General Services Administration and contractors. What do you see? What's the effect there?
Prices paid is obviously an important element for what the government is getting, and it may or may not end up being tied directly to the GSA initiative on the transaction data rule and prices paid portal for GSA awarded contracts. Here again, price is always an essential element of it, and companies and other agencies ought to know how the pricing structures are being designed for these new acquisitions to minimize overlap and to maximize competition.
So those are rescinded, and it looks like they're not going to come back. What do you think contractors ought to do now at this point, or can they do anything?
The Special Service Council are likely going to send a letter shortly to Director Mulvaney asking him to reconsider on those that are being terminated, on the ones that, and that includes the accelerated payments for contractors, another set of memos that they've rescinded. Here again, we recognize the burden that's been created by some of the reporting requirements. We certainly don't need the continuation of the quarterly reporting, but the underlying policy of the government doing a better job of accelerating payments that are otherwise due to contractors, particularly smaller businesses, should have been able to be retained, and that's what we're going to recommend.
Now, the rapid payment to contractors and subcontractors, that's enshrined somewhere in law, correct?
No. In fact, it's just the opposite. The OMB's standard cash management practices is to only pay valid invoices on day 29 or 30, 28, 29, 30, somewhere at the end of the cycle to avoid agencies having to incur interest on overdue payments. That element, the interest due on late payments, is in law. It's part of the Prompt Payment Act, but not otherwise. But the accelerated payments has only been generated through these OMB memos. And I'm concerned that while some agencies may continue to make those payments on a timely, on an accelerated basis, other agencies will fall back on the standard OMB guidance for cash management and hold off payment until the last possible moment.
So if there's no law and no regulation, then agencies really can say, hey, the heck with this.
That's correct.
And what about the idea of contractors that have jobs, that have contracts, helping agencies with all of this reporting, some of which is going away? Do you think that's going to have a material effect on spending?
Well, I think there's certainly a number of companies that support federal agencies in their reviews of contracts and the reviews of the A-123 internal controls. That's a small portion of the overall government contracting scheme. There's not large dollars involved. I suspect it may be for some of these companies. But that's not the reason that we're a proponent for retaining them. I think it's just important that the agencies be held accountable for the internal controls. This is the OMB Circular A-123 is the way that that's done.
Alan Chavotkin is Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much.
Tom, thanks for the opportunity.
Find a link to the Mulvaney memo and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.